Morning. If you don't mind, turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and verse 3. Once again, 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and verse 3, and I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that as we engage You in Your Word, that Your Spirit would help us to understand it. That You would grant us illumination or comprehension of the text, and then help us to make an active application of it, Lord. Help us to examine ourselves thoroughly. I pray, Lord, that we would see that Christ is in us, or that we shall see that Christ is not. Lord, we pray, God, that You would help us in our weakness to come to You. As we found in our text in Sunday school this morning, there was the pleading of a Savior to come unto me. So we pray, God, that You would help us to do that very thing. And we pray this in the name of Jesus who saves us. Amen. I titled the message today, Are the Commandments of the Lord a Burden? Are the Commandments of the Lord a Burden? Now, I got to believe at this point, if you've sat through our teaching here on 1 John, which has been the last 4 months, I believe, anyhow. You'll notice that as we progress through here, John's letter contains certain propositions that we continually keep coming in contact with, which challenges us to examine ourselves and to test ourselves to see if Christ is in us. One of those things that we run across frequently in the letter of 1 John is the love of God. Another thing that we run across frequently is the love of the brethren. Another one is the keeping of His commandments. And the fourth is that of being born of God, or as I like to say, the abiding of the Holy Spirit. And regardless of where it is that John starts, they naturally lead to the next one. In other words, if I was to give you a circle and I was to give you these 4 points in the circle, it wouldn't matter at what point we started in the circle. The next one naturally flows from the first one that we talk about. In other words, if I'm keeping the commandments, that shows that I love God. If I love God, then I'm loving the brethren. If I'm loving the brethren, it's because I've been born of God, or the Spirit of God resides in me. And so wherever you start in this circle, you can examine yourself as you move through it. Now, the same could be said in a negative manner as well. In other words, if we were to look at this and we were to insert ourselves in the keeping of the commandments and we would say, no, I'm not keeping the commandments, then doubt arises whether or not we love God. And if we don't love God, then we obviously won't be able to love the brethren. And if we don't love the brethren, solely because we're not born of God. In other words, the Spirit of God does not abide in us. Now, the testing is important, folks, or the examination of our life is important, because people can easily persuade themselves into believing that they have the life of God when they do not. Or that being a Christian is just a matter of being nice and friendly and rubbing shoulders with Christian folk. Some people believe the test or the assurance of your salvation is, well, it's because I do a lot of reading of Christian books, or I do a lot of theological studies. Well, that in itself doesn't necessarily dictate that you are in Christ, nor do you have the assurance of salvation. Some people feel that being a Christian or the assurance of your salvation is because you have warm, fuzzy feelings. And I will tell you right now that warm, fuzzy feelings will delude and deceive. Some people say that Christianity is just a certain set of moral qualities of life and living and nothing else. My problem with this is all those things that I listed can be counterfeited and can be used by the devil to deceive us or to lull us into a false sense of security as it relates to our salvation. Then what should we ask? What are the tests then If we are to test ourselves to give us our assurance of our salvation, what should we do? Am I born of God? Is the Spirit of God dwelling in me? Am I keeping His commandments? Do I love the brethren? Or do my love of the brethren only in lip service only? Or is it demonstrative? Is it an action? Do I confess that I have sin? Or do I walk around as though I am a man without sin? And when I do have sin, do I confess my sin? Do I ask God to cleanse me from the unrighteousness? Or do I simply pass by it in a sense of indifference? These are all tests that we find scattered throughout the first letter of John. And that's the whole reason that John writes his first letter to those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants them to examine the nature of their faith, because you can remember the whole basis of the letter is you have folks that are teaching in churches that the assurance of your salvation is a higher knowledge, or the assurance of your salvation is a certain confession, or the certainty of your salvation is just by what you may have read, or the certainty of your salvation are some feelings that you may have had at one point or another. John wants you to know the assurance of your salvation is rooted in things that are objective and solid, not in things that are subjective and change with the changing wind and tides that we are exposed to. So, what concerns me today, above all things, are the commandments. The commandments. Now look in verse 2, if you would. Verse 2 here of our text, 1 John chapter 5. He says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we keep His commandments. So you'll see that there's three things that are present here which have an interplay, once again, and a connection. That is the love of God, the love of the brethren, and the keeping of His commandments. It's the keeping of the commandments that I really want to center on today. Because once again, if we're striving to keep the commandments, then it certainly gives the assurance of salvation that we then are born of God and that we love God. Okay, these are the implications then of the keeping of the commandments. And by the way, when I say the commandments, I'm steering towards the commandments of Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, and when I say that, please realize that the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ are consistent with the commandments that we find in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, I would tell you that the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ set the commands on a higher plane, if you'd like. We see that in Matthew chapter 5 as it deals with adultery. In other words, adultery is not only an act, it's actually something that's conceived in the mind and through the eyes, right? So Jesus sets all these commandments on a higher plane. These are the commandments that I have in view here. Now, what does it mean to keep? Maybe we should start there. What does it mean to keep? Keep means to watch over. It means to preserve. It means to obey. It conveys the sense to us of believers safeguarding those commandments. Keeping His commandments does not mean that you write them on your wall, you grab a dart, you wake up some morning, and you throw it against the wall and say, guess I'll do my best on that one today. That's not what it means in regards to safeguarding or keeping the commands. It is this: is my greatest objective at the end of each and every day to be pleasing to Him, to honor Him, and to glorify Him, the one who died for me to take away my sins. That's what it is to keep and to safeguard the commandments of our Lord. It is at the end of the day to ask myself, have I strove to honor Him because of His act on my behalf to keep His commands? It's really just that simplistic. Now, it means that obedience to the directive and the precepts of Christ and His Word is the overarching concern before anything else during the course of the day. Now, once again, let me state something. That in striving to keep the commandments of our Lord, the motive is not merit. It is not as though we're trying to gather some reward before our Creator and our Redeemer. It is not so as to honor ourselves before other men, because we have a tendency to compare ourselves to other men, don't we? Even as brothers and sisters in Christ, we oftentimes gauge the success of our spiritual walk in accordance with how our brother and sister in Christ is doing. Don't take this the wrong way, but my concern once again is, was my life today well-pleasing before my Lord, and did I safeguard His commandments? Did I hold them near and dear to my heart? Did I treasure them? Was that the manner of how I live today? No. Our motivation is driven by thankfulness. Our motivation is driven by gratitude. Our motivation is driven by love. Please understand, this is why it is that the brothers and sisters in Christ strive to keep the commandments of our Lord is because of what He has done. That is the motivation. Not what we've done, not what we can receive, but what Christ has done in His act of obedience and dying for us. So, keeping His commandments ties together with a love for God, correct? That's what the text tells me. A love for the brethren, and may I add, a love, obviously, for Jesus Christ. This was a theme that was continual with Jesus Christ Himself. If you don't mind going to John chapter 14, I'm going to throw some verses out at you. John chapter 14, we're going to start here. We're going to read through some selected scriptures. John chapter 14, and I'd like to look at verse 15. And once again, the clarity of how Christ speaks is very startling. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, once again, the tendency for your pastor is to always look at the both sides there. If I'm not keeping the commandments, if I'm not safeguarding them, then the implication is that I don't love him. Verse 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Manifest meaning to reveal. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We'll come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." Also, since we're so close, let's look in John chapter 15, verse 9 and verse 10. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you, so abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Do you see how it is that he continually stresses the aspect of obedience? Our obedience to the commandments, our safeguarding of the commandments, revealed what's going on in our heart. And whether or not it is Christ who truly is the affections of our heart. And whether or not we actually are friends of Christ, as he says so in John chapter 15. You can also think of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I got to tell you something. I like to hear those pages flipping. I like that. 1 John chapter 2, 3 through 4. Sometimes I go through quick, and that's okay. Scribble those references out on your paper, and you can look them up after service. 1 John chapter 2, we're going to bust into verse 3. "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." So once again, if I'm to simply ask you, how do I know that I know him? It's by keeping his commandments. Notice verse 4, "He who says I know him and does not keep his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And once again, that term liar, that's a pretty potent little term. So in other words, if we're going around saying it's Jesus we love, yet his commandments we continually disgrace and do not follow and do not practice, it may very well be that we don't know him and that we have made ourselves out to be liars. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." In other words, the keeping of his commandments should be a realization that the Spirit of God abides in us. Now, I know with my terminology of utilizing commandments and keeping could be misconstrued by some folks. All right. Matter of fact, sometimes in our discussions with other folks, I've had people who say that they are completely opposed to the notion of commandments because it's too close to law. In other words, to them, commandments mean law. Okay? And they say, "What? We're no longer under law, Pastor. You've got this all skewed. We're under grace. So all the commandments that you're talking about, they are laws, and the keeping of such laws and commandments is unnecessary. It is unnecessary. They would brand us as rank legalists for the notion that the assurance of your salvation is seen in the keeping of the commandments." But what did John 14:15 say? "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." You see, look, there are things that go on within churches today that people are opposed to because I think it infringes upon their views that they have of Jesus Christ. What shapes our view of Jesus Christ? Is it the Bible? Or is it the wind of our culture? Matter of fact, is it the wind of the tendencies of the church itself? It's the Bible that has to shape our understanding of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says clearly, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." So we have to safeguard and preserve, strive to obey. Am I asking for perfection from you? No. No. Why? Because we are men and women of like nature. We struggle with sin, do we not? The issues of life crop up all the time. Things drive us crazy. We don't react the way we ought to react. We don't interact the way we ought to interact. Okay? But at the end of the day, once again, we're striving to honor our King because of what our King did in His condescension to the earth, in His humiliation and taking upon Himself flesh and blood, living our lives and dying in our place. It's the least that I can do is to strive to honor my King for what He's done. If keeping the commandments of Christ are of no concern to us, then our love for God or being loved by God is called into question. And the dominoes begin to fall one after another until we arrive at the potential reality that we really don't believe in Christ. That we really don't know Christ. And that we may still be abiding in spiritual darkness. Remember, what did Jesus say in Luke 6:46? "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I've told you?" That's a good question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do those things which I tell you? Now, it's not only the keeping of our commandments that's vital to the assurance of our salvation, but it's the attitude that we have towards the commandments of our Lord. This is key as well. In verse 3, he helps us to understand that. Look in verse 3 of our text. 1 John 5, verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." And here comes the attitude part. "His commandments are not burdensome." They are not burdensome. Burdensome means this: a weight pressing on one physically. A weight pressing on one physically. It is painful, oppressive, and grievous. It's like a man who's constantly carrying something about which is all too heavy for him, and he's groaning under the weight of it. That's what burdensome is. Now, let me give you an example. Think of New Testament here. All the traditions and the extra biblical laws that the Pharisees and the scribes had strung up, right? And in Matthew 23, verse 4, Jesus says this: "They tell you to observe their works and bind upon men heavy burdens hard to bear, laying on them their shoulders." In other words, this: the Pharisees and the scribes, who were supposed to be the religious elite of society at that time, had made so many extra biblical laws that it became grievous to the people of God on Saturday worship. That's when they met for worship, was on Saturday in the synagogues. They were groaning under the weight of the traditions that they had devised. It was too much, and it was a great burden on the people. So what was Jesus Christ's response to this? Well, let me tell you, he says this: "Come unto me, all you who labor You've heard this before, haven't you? Who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You see? When we get bound up with the traditional aspects of men's teachings and not the Bible, it's a weight too hard for us to bear. But Jesus says this, service to me and to my commandments ought to be easy. It ought to be easy. It shouldn't be servile. It shouldn't be drudgery. It shouldn't be slavery to the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. Should it? It shouldn't be. It should be joy in our heart to want to carry out the words of our Savior and our Lord and our King. There's an old proverb that says this, love feels no burden, right? I don't know where that was quoted or who quoted it. Don't ask me. Love feels no burden. Here's an illustration. It's like one time an illustration was given, and it was an older man who lived by a bus stop. Every morning he watched the bus show up. And every morning he watched a child who was about 12 years old coming down the street carrying his 5-year-old brother who had no legs on his back. Every day before school. Trucked him down 6 blocks onto the bus. One day the old man came to the 12-year-old child and he said, son, isn't that too much for you to bear? And he said, no, it's my brother and I love him. Love feels no burden. Commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ should not be burdensome to us, folks. They should be joyful to us. When the love of God in Christ indwells a man, the commandments of our Lord become the greatest treasures upon the earth, and in them we find our delight. In them we find our happiness and our contentment. And I speak for myself. I can't speak for everybody. But I know that when I do what the Lord commands me to do, and I have actually done it, I feel happy. I feel good. I feel obedient. I feel like I've honored my Heavenly Father. And I hope you feel the same way. Let me ask you something, friends. When you encounter the commandments of our Lord, do you resent them? Do you see in them an impossible load that is brought to bear upon you? Do you grumble and groan and charge the Lord with being some kind of cruel taskmaster who asks of you the impossible? Do you finally just throw up your arms and say, you know what, instead of trying to do what Christ has told me to do, it's much easier simply to just go back and to sin. Because sin is oh so much easier to give allegiance to. You know, a man or a woman that's void of the love of God will see nothing in the commandments but wearisome do's and don'ts. They will not see in the words of the Word of God a wise father who loves and is concerned with the welfare of his son and the son maintaining the family name, if you don't mind. You know, if we're void of the Spirit of God and the love of God, we will not see that obedience to His Word brings true joy and true happiness. We will only see precept upon precept, burden upon burden, drudgery upon drudgery, and dragging around an old oppressive weight. What should a proper attitude be like? Romans 7:22. You don't have to turn there because I have something else for you in store. Romans 7:22, please just hear me and write it down. Paul says, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Now let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I had a whole boatload and I chopped it in half for your sake. Psalm 119. Just some verses that I'd like to pull out that show us the adoration of the psalmist in regards to the commandments of the Lord. Psalm 119, look at verse 20. By By the way, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible and is well worth your investment in studying it. Psalm 119, verse 20. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Look at verse 47. Verse 47. I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. 48. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I'll meditate on your statutes. Verse 97. Verse 97. The psalmist says, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. 103, so close to it. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way, the psalmist says. 127. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, and I hate every false way. So your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. 131. I opened my mouth and I panted. I longed for your commandments. 162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. And one last one, 167. My soul keeps your testimonies and I love them exceedingly. I wonder, is that our attitude towards the commandments of our Lord? Delight, love, panting for? Folks, do we understand that the commandments of our Lord bring life? It's the commandments of our Lord that open up the eyes of those who are blind. Do we understand it's the commandments of our Lord that bring life? I mean life. Life. Eternal life. The life of God. That's what eternal life is, by the way. It's the life of God. That's what His words bring. How can we not love that which brings life and delivers men out of darkness and communicates or translates them into the kingdom of heaven? How can we not get excited about that? Why would they be a burden when it frees men from their shackles? That's what the Word does. It frees men from their bondage and their slavery to their own flesh, to their own sin, to their own darkness. Busts them out of the kingdom of the devil, right? That's why Christ came, to destroy the works of the devil. Why should His Word be a burdensome to us? You know, look. There's a question that has to be asked and answered. Why are the commandments not burdensome? Why do we rejoice in them, gladly rendering obedience? Let me tell you why it is that you sit here today, and for some of you, you love and you pant for the commandments of our Lord. Because of the new birth. You've been born again. It's because of the indwelling Spirit of God. That's why it is that we long for this. That's why it is that when Christ asks us to do something, we don't, all right, Dad. It's not a burden to us. Look, there was a time when we bristled at the commands of Christ. I understand that. There was a time when God would speak to us through His Word, and we said, who is this that presumes to speak to us with such authority, telling me to lay down my arms in rebellion? Who does he think he is? I remember when he said, repent. Do you remember when he said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me? Do we remember when he said, don't look at a woman so as to lust after her in her heart? Don't play the hypocrite. You can't serve God and money at the same time, boy. Do we remember this, the claims that Christ was making and the wooing of heaven upon our life? Mm-hmm. Said greed and materialism and money. If that's your mistress, then kick her to the curb. She'll do you wrong and drag you into the pit of hell. He spoke to us over and over again. And you know what? Nobody ever spoke to us like Christ. No man speaks like Christ. Because when Christ speaks, he cuts to the quick. And that's what the commandments of our Lord did to us. And that's what they will do to those yet who are not saved. They're not a burden. They were but they're not anymore. What is it that we say now? We're just like old Samuel. Speak, Lord. Your servant hears. Speak, Lord. What would you have your servant do for your honor? Speak, Lord. What would you have me avoid? What would you have me cultivate? Now it's not burden, it's speak to me. Speak to me. Show me my heart through your commandments. He's given us his spirit to indwell us, turning our former hatred towards the commandments to love and delight. It's all part of the new covenant relationship in Christ. You remember in Jeremiah 31, don't turn there, Jeremiah 31, 34, or Hebrews chapter 8, I think it's verse 10. He says, the part of this new covenant that I'm establishing is, I'm going to put my law in their minds. This is what God has done to those who sit here today who love Christ. God has put his law in your mind. The burden is removed, the delight is there. Now, I've met many a man and woman who have been trying to keep the commandments to show forth that they were born of God and knew God. Yet it became glaringly obvious to me that all of it was forced. It's like a man who smiles to you, gritting his teeth the whole time. It's all forced. I have friends that have tried to keep the commands almost the whole of their life, and to them, it's an arduous journey. It's difficult. They find themselves overwhelmed, and they throw in the towel. Some have departed from the faith. Why? Because it was never motivated for a love for Christ. That's the problem. You can try to keep the commandments all day long in your own power, but you won't love doing it. You won't delight in it. You'll say, when is the evening coming so I can hit myself in the sack and get to bed so I don't have to worry about these things in the morning? There is such a thing as forced service to a king. And folks, if the Spirit of God does not dwell on us, it's forced service. And you won't delight in the commandments of our Lord. It'll be a burden to you. So friends, let me ask you this. If Christ's commands are a burden, then we need to examine our hearts. We need to pray to God that He would show us our spiritual condition. Because I'm telling you this morning that service to Christ our King is not slavery in the least.